I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Welcome back and thanks for making the show part of your day. Hour number two is underway. On the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, Garrett Brosius joins us. He is a former minor league ball player in the San Francisco Giants organization, advocates on behalf of minor league players, having now experienced and known the grind they go through, and he's attorney for ball players, and he's joining us. Garrett, I've chatted with you over the years about all kinds of different issues in minor league baseball, but during this pandemic, things have gotten particularly tough on minor league players, and I think our listeners generally think baseball player professionally and the glam that comes with that. Can you give us an idea of what a time like this is like for a lot of the guys in the minor leagues?
Yeah, there's really a storm of issues going on right now, and I appreciate you having me on to talk about them because, you know, this winter it was announced that MLB was trying to contract 42 minor league teams, which is 25% of minor league teams, and the minor league players, of course, would have no voice in that because they don't have a union at all. The Major League Baseball Players Association doesn't represent them. But then all of a sudden in spring training, COVID-19 hit and all the ballplayers were sent home scrambling. And since then, they've been told to keep working out and keep training, and they've been doing that. And, you know, thus far, they've been getting a small stipend from the teams of $400 per week. But that stipend is due to end on May 31st. And, you know, there are a lot of anxious ballplayers out there wondering how they're going to make ends meet after that, if the stipend isn't increased. And, you know, teams have been slowly coming out and announcing what their policy is going to be.
Garrett, for the sake of argument, I am very sympathetic to what you're talking about and to the players themselves. But for the sake of argument here, let me just put on devil's advocate hat. What would you say to somebody that says, well, tough, that's the business that you're in, right? Nobody guarantees that you're just allowed to make money. There's risk in everything. What would you say to the carpenter that's laid off or something else? What would you say to the person that would, you know, sort of counter what you're talking about here for minor league baseball players?
Yeah, you know, I recognize that there are people around this country who are dealing with tough things right now. We have 40 million people that have applied for unemployment benefits in the last 2 months. 100,000 people have died during this crisis. So without a doubt, there are some awful things going on throughout industries, throughout our country. But here's the crazy issue for the minor league players. And this was made really apparent in an email sent by the general manager of the Oakland A's recently. The Oakland A's told all their players that they aren't going to continue those $400 per week payments. But the crazy thing they said is that the players have to remain under contract with the A's during that time, and they have to continue performing whatever services the A's require, including, you know, probably around 20 hours a week of training that they're expected to do, even when there's no season going on. But they aren't going to be paid for that. So it's a little different than the situation a lot of workers are going through, because they have to continue working for these teams, but they aren't necessarily going to be paid. Are they working as much as they normally would be during a season? Of course not. But they're still providing services. And the other thing is the teams are still retaining the rights to them. You know, they're controlling these players you know, the legal word for them is they're controlling them like chattel. They're treating them as their property. You know, if you are an engineer in the aerospace industry, for instance, and you get furloughed by one company, well, you could go and look for another company that might go ahead and pay you during this crisis. That might be hiring workers. But those Oakland A's players can't go across the bay to the San Francisco Giants and say, hey, you know, I think I can provide a valuable service to you. Will you hire me and continue paying me?
Garrett Brocious on Grant and Danny here on 106.7. The Fan. Advocates for minorleaguers.com is where you can find some of his work and some of the work that he's done. How is that legally binding? I mean, our players, I'm sure people like you are going to fight on their behalf, but if you tell me that you're not paying me, and therefore there's not necessarily employment at this point, are they just claiming that you're still under contract, and as of right now you're furloughed, but you can't go work elsewhere? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, so these are seven-year contracts that they're required to sign, because the teams want to retain those player development rights to the players for that long of time, because they're trying to develop these guys into future major leaguers. And so they want to retain the benefit of having those rights to the players, but at the same time, they are disregarding their obligation to, at the same time, take care of these players. And so it's a very backward situation. These contracts are very much out of the 1920s. There's language in these contracts that you just never see in modern-day employment contracts at all. And a big reason is just because they do not have a union. Baseball has an antitrust exemption. And so there's been nobody fighting on behalf of the minor league players for probably 100 years at this point.
How much do I know that the stars that get drafted in the first round get huge bonuses. How much does a minor league player typically make? I don't know how many of us have a good understanding of that.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, important thing to keep in mind is for most players, there's no rainy day fund. Most players are not signing for that big signing bonus. And so they don't get that big signing bonus when they come into the industry. And then once they are actually paid during the season, most players, about 50% of players or a little over that, make less than $7,500 for the entire year. And probably around 80% of players make less than $10,000 for the entire year. So they very much are among the most poorly compensated workers in the entire country. And, you know, this is at a time when Major League Baseball has been receiving record profits. Year after year after year, their profits have grown exponentially. And sure, they, of course, are not receiving bringing in the revenue that they anticipated to bring in this year. But you would think they could lean on those past profits from the past few years to at least do the right thing and take care of these minor league ballplayers. Because we did the math. The Oakland A's are probably saving around $750,000, maybe up to $1 million, by deciding not to extend these stipends. And that $400 per week is a real lifeline for these players. And I've talked to a number of them. They're filing for unemployment benefits, a lot of them. Some of them are driving for DoorDash. They're doing whatever they can to make ends meet. But the filing for unemployment is the really ironic thing is that instead of the billionaire owners taking care of their employees, these people that they say are still under contract with them, it's not going to be the taxpayers that are taking care of these minor league ballplayers.
Garrett, my first reaction to hearing this was, if I was a player, and I don't, who knows if I'd win or not, it'd probably be a huge drain, but my first thought was, I would sue. I would sue ownership. And I don't know, who knows what legal ground I'd have to stand on because of a deal that I'd signed. But if you're not paying me, then I'm going to sue for my free agency to try to do the thing that you talked about a little bit earlier, which is to say, I'm going to offer my services to someone that will pay me. Because if you're not going to give me anything, then I need to find a way to go earn. And my skill set is X, and you guys are not paying me to do my skill set. So I need to be like every other employee in the universe and see if I can get some substantive change here. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, without a doubt, I think there would be some good legal arguments to be made, because this contract is just so unconscionable at this point, the way it's being interpreted. But, you know, it's important to remember it would take a Curt Flood type of player to do this. And we have to remember that Kurt Flood never played again after bringing his lawsuit. And so that is the fear that would be going through the mind of any potential player to be doing that. But, you know, guys are mad. They also feel like they've been deceived. You know, the A's, like every team, talks about the things being a family and how you have to take care of each other and you have to work together as a family when you're on a team. But they sure aren't treating these guys like family now.
Garrett Brosius here on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan, and his last name is his Twitter account, at B-R-O-S-H-U-I-S, if you want to see more of this intel. Hey, real quick, and we've only got about a minute left or so, but I do want to get your insight on what's going on between the players and the owners at the highest of levels as well. The development yesterday was the players seem to be taking their ball and going home now. What do we think comes out of the dispute between the owners and the players at the major league level?
Yeah, my old college roommate threw some haymakers last night. Max Scherzer.
Were you college roommates with Max?
Yeah. So he was a freshman my last year at the University of Missouri.
Wow.
And he lived with me briefly during the winter when we came back early from winter break. Great guy, as intense as anybody I've ever played with. But yeah, he drew a line in the sand last night and basically said, you know, from the player's perspective, we think that we already offered to discount our salaries based on the amount of games that are going to be played. And we think that's fair. And we think that based on the numbers we've seen, that MLB is deceiving the public and not truthfully portraying the economic situation. And it looks like that the parties are as far away as they've been, which from the perspective of a general baseball fan, and I want to see baseball games played as much as anybody, it's disappointing. But we have to keep in mind that the players like Max, other players around the league, they're the ones whose safety is really at issue here. And they're worried about not just themselves, but also their families. And they want to make sure that they're taken care of. And so really the safety thing is at the forefront of their mind. And, you know, if they're going to play and put themselves at risk, then, you know, why should they take that steep of a discount? They feel like they've already offered a discount. They feel like they already had a deal on that. Then now a much, much steeper discount is being asked from them. And, you know, it's not going to be an easy thing to resolve.
Awesome. Garrett, this was so informative. Really appreciate the time, man. Be well.
Yeah, you too. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Just something we wanted people to think about a little bit, because it is a small piece to the puzzle, but it's something that doesn't get a whole lot of run. Garrett Brosius with us here on Grant and Danny. Baker Mayfield says he needs to be better in 2020, and he plans on doing more playing and less talking. We buying what he's selling just yet. That's next. Tough night last night at the house for NASCAR Paulson, Danny. We got a rain out. So I put my best shirt on, put my cologne on, showered, shaved, and then she didn't even show up. I cleaned up my room. I washed the sheets and put them back on the bed.
You got
went
no
out
date?
To dinner, and then she didn't even show. I went home alone and sat
date.
There and watched Netflix.
Bummer. Bummer. Right, sorry,
out.
Man. Now, I didn't notice. It wasn't even a blip on my radar
that it was
on or off, but it stinks for you. I'm sorry, man.
There's rain in the forecast again tonight in Charlotte as well. This is probably just a coincidence. Tommy, I'm going to tag you in here because you've been at this for many years. I mean, is this always a thing with racing? Because obviously, like, one raindrop is too many, unlike most sports. But I feel like since I got in the game now, this would be race four. Every single time I've watched a race, there's either been a huge threat that it's not going to happen, or we've had delays, or it hasn't gone off. Like, is this something I've got to get used to? Because it's very frustrating.
I mean, it has been more than usual, and
okay. So
we're at a higher percentage of rain to begin with since the season came back. But once again, going back to our conversation from yesterday, this is a main reason why I DVR the races, because in situations like this, I can just either fast forward through the rain delay, or I figure out at some point the race has been canceled, and then I really haven't lost that much time. But I would say if everything was normal and everything was going according to plan, I'd say probably 25% of the races that you're going to see are somehow going to be obstructed by weather.
Oof.
And a lot of that has to do with the fact that they use slick tires. They don't use, you know, like the tires that we drive on. So just a little bit of rain, well, they can't be out on the track.
Yeah, and I don't want anybody driving at 200 miles an hour in the rain. I mean, nobody's advocating for that. But, man, you get all excited and then nothing. And people remember this from a baseball right now, but they're just, it seems like fewer and far between. But maybe we'll get a race tonight. Danny, did you see what Baker Mayfield said yesterday?
Yes, Baker Browns? Mayfield believes that it's time for action and not talk, and he talked in order to say that. That was a fascinating dichotomy there.
Don't
from
do
old
that
Bakes.
Bit. That's
yes,
a bad
it's time for
take.
Action, Grant. It is. It's time. It's time for
no,
action.
No, this I hate this take. People do this bit all the time. He is required to speak to the media regularly. Do you think he said, hey, guys, I've got a Zoom. I want to do a Zoom with you. Can you all get on Zoom? I want to talk to the media. Or do you think the Browns PR staff called him and said, hey, Baker, it's time to do your regular whatever it is hit with the media? He didn't ask to talk.
Okay. I don't see how that conflicts with what I'm saying. He said it's time for action. It's time to go out there and do it. That's what he said.
Right. He did say that. Here was Baker Mayfield on the Cleveland Browns getting down to business.
I have a different approach to this year. You know, I think it's everybody that has been interviewed in our team has kind of, you know, hit the nail on the head over and over about, you know, it's just time to work. It's time to do our thing instead of talking about it. So this is the first media thing I've done just because there's no need to be talking about it. It's just time to go do it. And right now it's, you know, kind of moving in silence, which is fine with me. That's how I used to do it before getting on a bigger stage. So I'm happy to get back to those roots. And, like I said earlier, get back to the fundamentals to where I can accomplish the goals when the season comes around.
It's a good year for it, by the way, for Baker Mayfield, for the, you know, let's put our nose to the grindstone and just work year. I mean, he was bad last season as a
sure was.
Rookie, 27 touchdowns, 14 picks. First-year player, record number of touchdowns, rating of about 93 for a perennially horrendous organization where quarterbacks go to die. He looked like he was the next great thing, big thing in the NFL. And then last year in year two with more talent after Odell Beckham Jr. showed up, he had his passing yards per game go down, his touchdowns go down, his interceptions go up, his pretty much universally across the board, every number was worse, and his rating went from 93 to 78. So he is on the put-up-or-shut-up team in the NFL this year. And the reason I bring up, you know, hating the take is people do the bit where they're like, well, why would you have a press conference to say you're not going to talk? My point is, well, it's not his choice to have the press conference. He's just saying this is what he's going to do this year. But man, if you put a list together of like five guys in the NFL that have to just ball out this year, the way that their career is going to unfold is going to be very different. He might be the first guy I'd list at this point.
He's the leader in the clubhouse for that. I mean, here's what happened last year. He got hit a bunch. He got sacked a bunch. Now, I don't know how much of that. I'm not watching Brown's film or anything, but I don't know how much of that is on him, on play calling, on a bad O-line, on him not putting the right adjustments in place. I don't know. I know that every number, as you touched on, that is good went down. Rating, yards per attempt, adjusted yards per attempt, air yards, all the things that you would measure how a quarterback is doing, and the good went down, and all the bad numbers went up. All of them went up. So sack percentage, number of hits, yards lost, you know, incompletions, everything bad, interceptions, all of it was bad. And to me, it stemmed from how much he was getting popped in the pocket. So they took care of it, or they tried to anyway, investing in offensive linemen. You got both via the draft, both free agency. This is the ultimate put up or shut up type year. Every excuse has been removed. Right, where you got an incompetent head coach that's gone, you got an adult in the room, you got offensive line help, you got skill guys out the yang.
He's
Nick Chubb is a star.
Haskins, isn't he?
Yeah, it's
the
opposite.
Supporting cast.
Precisely.
Like, they go get a head coach who's offensive minded in Kevin Stefanski, who marries the run game to the pass game beautifully in play action. Should really, really help him. You mentioned the offensive line. They draft Jedrick Wills to start at left tackle in the first round. They sign Jack Conklin to start at right tackle for $40 million in free agency. You know, meanwhile, Haskins doesn't have a left tackle at all. At the wide receiver position, he's got Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry to go with Rashard Higgins and Tawan Taylor. At tight end, they already had David Njoku. Pretty good, maybe not great. What do? They sign Austin Hooper. And then they drafted a tight end four rounds before the Redskins did with Harrison Bryant in round four. I mean, they couldn't have done any more to surround Baker Mayfield, who already had one of the best groups around him. It got better, Danny. There really is no excuse not for him to be excellent this year. If that team doesn't know at the end of this season that he's the guy, then he's not the guy.
Yeah, this is what I want. I want this. I want to have no doubt. So if Baker Mayfield swims, okay, good. If he sinks, now I know.
All put up or shut up team. Who else should be on it? We can list a couple of names.
Ooh.
Plus, Scott Turner had a Zoom conference with reporters yesterday, the Redskins OC. He talked Dwayne Haskins and young wide receivers. We can get into what he had to say right here on The Fan. Happy National Cheeseburger Day, Danny. Hopefully you're celebrating with a cheeseburger at some point today.
I'd like to do that. I want to do that. I like cheeseburgers.
You get to eat a burger from one establishment today to celebrate this big date on the calendar. Where are you choosing?
It's a great question by you. We had the smash burger from our buddies at the Salt Line on Friday of last week, and it was phenomenal. Outstanding. I think I'd probably go Five Guys right now. That's what I'm hankering for. That's what I'm Leonard Hankersing for right now, is a Five Guys burger with the correct toppings that I select. You don't select it for me. I select it. Cajun fries with vinegar, with a giant bottle of vinegar right at the side to get all the possible flavors right in my gullet. I also get a hot dog as a side. Sometimes it's a grilled cheese. You don't know. You don't know.
It's a shame that you went Five Guys, because that would have been my answer, and now I'll just sound redundant if I give you that. So I'm going to go with a very similar burger that is made in a comparable manner. Have you ever had a burger from Boardwalk Fries?
No. The one at the ballpark where they've got all the delicious fries?
No. So this is like a brick-and-mortar actual little Five Guys-styled restaurant, Boardwalk Fries.
No file.
The one I know of is over in like the Manchester Lakes area of Kingstown in Alexandria. But I think they're kind of sprinkled around the area. But it's kind of like Five Guys. I mean, you would notice the difference, perhaps, but everything's kind of the same way. You walk up to the counter, they give you 800 fries in a bag, they give you the burger wrapped in tin foil. It tastes very similar. The patties are cooked almost the exact same way. So if I can't go Five Guys because you went Five Guys and I'm not a
copycat. You're allowed to go Five Guys.
You're not running the Wildcat, and then a week later I'm running the Wildcat. I'm going to give you a little variation of the Wildcat. I'm going to go Boardwalk Fries, which people, they don't know that there's actually like occasionally these restaurants where they hook you with delicious burgers and they do hot dogs and some different things like that as well. They took a model that works and they do a good job at their own thing with it, I believe. But if I had to go to a restaurant, where's your favorite burger restaurant?
Like burger joint?
Not even a burger joint, but like a restaurant that makes a good burger. You ever had a burger from Clyde's?
Yeah, oh yeah. They just know what they're doing.
Damn good burger. So does Mike's American Grill, the Great American Restaurant, which I – can I use a term that the kids are using now, which I stand
for?
Or
you could stand for that.
Do I stand or do I cape?
It's a great question. I think you stand. Now, do you stand for or do you just stand?
Ooh, good question. I'm always adding the word to make it sound better. I think I stand Great American Restaurants.
I don't know the answer to this. Like, in my opinion, it just sounds more natural to say, I stand for Great American Restaurants.
Yeah, but then it sounds like you're saying you stand for it.
Do you rise?
Exactly. There's no rise.
Yeah, I don't know the answer.
Just stand. Because it's all based on the Eminem song. But also, why did we need that word anyway? Like, cape was already an annoyingly made-up word that meant support. I caped for them. Remember everyone was saying, like, y'all cape for Kirk Cousins. Well, I don't know what cape means, so I don't know that I do. I don't think I do that. And then we had to get a new word. A cape went away, and we had stan. So do we have a new one soon? I don't know why we always need a new word that just means support. Why can't we say support?
It's a great question by you. What's worse, standing, and that, I just kind of turn it into that with the ing, standing or caping? Standing versus caping in the what's worse derby?
Standing is definitely worse, in my opinion. Caping comes from, I think, like putting on a cape and flying around to defend something, is my guess. I could be making this up completely. That's always been my thought. Standing is supposedly from the Eminem song where Stan is his biggest fan.
Well, the tea's gone cold. That's the entire song. You know what I mean? It's that.
And
part.
I wonder why.
Mm-hmm.
Every
so to
time,
me,
I think caping is infinitely worse.
Yeah.
So this drives my wife crazy. But anytime anyone mentions the word tears, I start singing that song. Because I've always sang it loudly as, my tears gone cold, I'm wondering why I got out of bed at all.
It's just not
morning
correct.
Morning rain fogged up my window. It's not correct, but it's a trigger for me. So if I hear the word tears, like if she ever says, baby's crying, tears are coming down, I'm like, my tears gone cold, I'm wondering why got out of bed at all. Every
I can imagine
single time I hear the word.
Some frustration from your lady wife there where she's going, okay, well, that's. Thank you for that, but that's not, A, that's not helpful, and B, that's not correct. There's no part of that that benefits our situation right now. I still have to go deal with the baby.
I'm not telling you that she should be happy about it or she should like it. I'm just telling you it's a big trigger for me to sing that song and a big trigger for her to hate me so much. Gylo on Twitter, who normally educates us on the terms that are being used by the children these days, he says, standing is it can do no wrong. Caping is defending. I feel like those are synonymous. Maybe standing is more extreme. But if you're defending something, then you think it can do no wrong, correct?
See, the caping to me is, I don't know why I felt worse about it, but I just do. Standing basically means, like, I'm trying to think of somebody like that. You can't criticize him to me. You know what I mean? Like, we're just, you can't do it. You can't, because I just love him so much, and I realize that I'm biased. I think that guy is so great. I love him. It's maybe like Michael Jordan. Maybe I'm a Stanley Tucci for Michael Jordan, right? Where I'm just like, I sort of deflect all the criticism. Caping is I need to come to somebody's rescue, right? Where it's somebody that's easy to criticize, and I need to swoop in and let you know that I'm the superhero on that. Because there's a lording over thing with the cape on. That's the imagery that I get, and it bothers me a little bit.
I just think neither word was ever needed. Like, no, we were fine without him, and we could have been fine moving forward for a long time. Mike says, check out Burger Shack at the corner of Beulah and Telegraph. Guyron Matthew.
Okay.
I have checked it out. It is amazing and wonderful and delicious. I got a burger from Burger Shack soon after the joint opened up. Your boy was one of the first people in line. It is a great spot. It is time right now for our World Series Rewind. We do this each and every day at this time. Presented by Waldorf Honda. World Series Rewind time takes you back to NLCS action against the Cardinals. Game 2. The Nationals are up 1-0 in the series. Max Scherzer is absolutely shoving and carving up St. Louis. And an unlikely hero steps up to the plate. We forget about how many Nationals that aren't stars had huge playoff moments like this guy in this spot.
Wainwright rocks into the windup and fires. And a swing and a high drive to left field, well hit. Ozuna drifting back toward the warning track, to the wall, looking up, and there it goes! Michael Taylor drops one into the left field seats for his third career postseason home run. And on the first pitch in the top of the third, the Nationals are on the board and lead the Cardinals here in game 2, 1-0.
Next top, 2-0 series lead because Scherzer didn't give up a base hit until the seventh inning. Michael A. Taylor, he had some huge moments in the playoffs. I mean, he always seems to rise to the occasion. He was the best National in their series against the Cubs a couple years earlier. That was your World Series Rewind presented by Waldorf Honda. We got 0%. We got zero down. We got zero payments for 90 days. Waldorf Honda has got it going on at waldorfhonda.com. Why can't playoff Michael Taylor be regular season, Mikey A.T.?
Great question by you. I don't have the answer to that. If I did, I would certainly tell him, and he would be really, really rich, or he'd be a stud all the time. But he had that one nice year under Dusty Baker where he was thrust into duty and looked like he was kind of the, I don't want to say next big thing, but a nice find, a nice asset. But he's never really been able to find his footing consistently. But that was a massive swing. That's the shadow game. That's when nobody could see anything. And that run was enormous for the Nationals before Adam Eaton would finally guess right later on in the game and hit what I believe was a two-run double. Huge for the Nats, though, to get out of there with two wins.
All right, I just looked this up. Michael A. Taylor, career batting average in the regular season, go.
I'm going to say 236.
Close, 240. Michael A. Taylor, career batting average in the playoffs in 40 at-bats, go.
294.
How about a calm 316?
316?
That guy just rakes four homers in 16 playoff games.
And Michael Taylor, 316. I love it.
Just quarter of the time, he homers every time. It's like a Sex Panther ratio or something.
Amazing.
G&D on the Fan, the double play is next. Hey, guys. Grant Paulson from my friends at Lindsay Chevrolet. I've been telling you about Lindsay for a while. My buddy Paul Smith is the general manager over there. They've got amazing deals right now during this COVID-19 pandemic to help get you in a ride because they know that the need for quality, reliable transportation hasn't gone away. And now more than ever, they're trying to show you that Chevy cares. Lindsay Chevy's new models available right now with 0% financing for 84 months. No payments for 120 days. All their inventory, all the incentives, check them out right now. Available to be found at lindsaychevy.com. Test drives can be done from home. They'll also bring the car to you for maintenance to pick it up and bring it home so that you don't have to leave the house, which is pretty cool. I've been getting cars from Lindsay Chevy for years. You got to do what I do. Shop online at Lindsay Chevy, then hit them up and talk with Paul Smith, the GM, to get yourself a deal. Go to lindsaychevy.com. I love it at Lindsay. So will you. If you want to tweet Danny, you can at FunnyDanny. I am at Grant H. Paulson. We're also both on Instagram at Grant H. Paulson there and at HumorousDanny for DR on IG. You can follow us for, I just post photos of some food that I like to eat and random things that happen or that elicit any kind of weird emotions in me late at night before I go to bed. It's kind of what I do on Instagram. What about you, Danny?
Way too much of my face on Instagram, and I'm aware of that. I kind of don't know what to do about it because I'm bad at Instagram. I'm bad at pictures in general. I don't care about people's food or their dogs. That's not why I follow anybody.
Oh, there's a lot of Fiona. Don't you worry about
post.
That.
Yeah. So what I end up doing is I'll just things that I find amusing, right? Or I'll just post like stupid impressions or like fun things for me that I do and see if people like them. If they don't, that's their prerogative. Shout out to Bobby Brown. But yeah, it's kind of my own little journey. I see something funny or something that strikes me as amusing or odd. I'll take a picture of that or like it's things of that nature. But it's a lot of me. It's a lot of my dumb face. And I apologize in advance for that if you follow.
It is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. My double play is that looking at you is a little bit less awkward than it was yesterday. It looks like you shaved.
Update them. Yep.
Your mustache. It's gone. Now you have just knocked the mustache down to your mid-growth of your, I would say, like midnight shadow on your beard that's coming back in a handful of days later here. But the mustache, it's not like you completely shaved the upper lip. It's just even with the rest of the beard, so now it looks like a in-progress beard in the works. But the mustache is gone. How did you make the big decision to get rid of it?
It was time. Yesterday, as I think I mentioned to you, maybe I mentioned on air at the start of the show, it's all bleeding together. I can't remember what I've said, what I haven't said. Yesterday was one of the worst days we had, and that's bled into today, which is a hoot. There's a lot of things going on. None of them are good. Earlier, in between.
What's the worst thing going on right now? The worst.
It's probably
thing.
The leak. The water's leaking from somewhere. We can't figure out where or why, but it's dripping down from the ceiling into the kitchen, which is fun.
How much water? Are you filling up a bucket, or is it like a drip that isn't that big of a deal?
Right now, it is a significant drip that I think a little piece of Tupperware, not little, but a wide piece of Tupperware that could hold a nice full meal would be filled in, I'd say, 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Oh, this is
so. It's not like the water's gushing, but it's also there's a leak. So that means something has to happen. Or it could be that at our condo that we are now renting out, an air conditioning unit is busted, which is a nice little $1,700 bill. It could be that my expenses from spring training still haven't been approved. It could be that my wife said to me about 20 minutes ago when I went upstairs, quote, "I have to get out of here." That's not an option right now. We have two small children. It could be that yesterday she said, and I quote, "I cannot do this anymore." Again, I don't know what
that
is,
like,
or what
the
it entails.
Scene in the movie where it's the beginning of the end for Danny Rouillet, or what does she mean by she can't do it anymore?
The follow-ups were unfruitful, as you can imagine. But this was at the height of, you know, what, our oldest being impossible, a complete pill, and everyone's screaming at everybody, and it was just so thoroughly terrible. I had stuff to do, work stress for everybody. Just again, it's just a terrible, terrible day. So it could be any of those things. Could be any of those, but it's all happening. So I said, you know what? This mustache that was kind of funny because, oh, I'm antagonizing the wife. That's funny. She can't stand this thing. Isn't it funny? No longer funny. And so I said, you know, now's a good time. Why don't I just get rid of it? Because real life has slammed bits down to the ground. A choke slam, Undertaker style, has choke slammed Joy. And now we need to get back to being serious.
Let's start with not getting your money back for the spring training trip yet. Why not? Uh-huh. What are they saying? What are you
great
being
question.
Told?
Great question. So the last
is it being declined, or you just haven't gotten a check yet?
No, and well, it's both. So it's been declined twice, and now it's just been waiting for 2 weeks. Submitted and pending approval is the thing they say when nobody's looking at it. So I don't know who has to approve it. But what it'll say things like this exceeds the amount for dinner. Or this exceeds the amount for lunch. Please explain. And my explanations are, this is how much food cost. I was at an airport for one of the things, and there's an upcharge when you're at the airport. They can charge you more. It's like stadium food. One was, this was a restaurant right by the hotel. I did have an appetizer with my producer, Brendan Dar. It was an expensive dinner with somebody that helps our show is what I would say. I was cultivating a source. That is a normal thing for someone in our industry to do. Cultivating a source is what I would say. So I mean,
what an explanation! You were grooming a source.
So I basically said, like, yeah, I had dinner with a Nationals player. Like, that should be fine for a sports radio station and a host who is doing that. So you're trying to, you know. A, because they've given us tons of content. B, you're just trying to do the right thing. So I got nothing.
The audacity. Beltway Blitz is next. Hopefully your day going better than Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.